This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, this is Sharmila Ganesan. First up, as we look forward to the multi-lane free flow system for our highways, what can we learn from our neighbour across the causeway? And then on today on Twitter, the Maibs Quarantine Centre is closing down and memories and tributes are pouring in. So do weigh in. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. All this coming your way on the evening edition. It is 5:07. You're listening to the evening edition with Sharmila. And last week, Works Minister Datuk Sri Fadila Yusof announced that our highways are moving towards a multi-lane free flow system, or MLFF, by 2025. And of course, comparisons to Singapore immediately began. So we're looking at what we can learn from our neighbours. So all of this, of course, came, I think, against a couple of weeks of very highway heavy news. So we first had the RFID kerfuffle on Taipusam weekend, and then we had the announcement from Datuk Sri Fadila as well that soon we'll be able to make toll payments using any digital provider and not just touch and go. And that, of course, led to the unveiling of this plan to finally go MLFF by 2025. Now, I think the reason Singapore often comes up is that it's probably most Malaysians' first and most familiar example of what this could look like. Now, Singapore, of course, uses the ERP, or the electronic road pricing. And this was implemented way back in 1998. And I think quite similar to MLFF in the sense that ERP uses an open road tolling system. Vehicles don't have to stop or slow down as they pay toll. Essentially, you just zip by and it reads the electronic chip on your car. Now, a study on long-term effects of congestion pricing in Singapore found that traffic congestion hasn't really been eliminated. It had merely been shifted in time and location. That said, I think there are still many advantages to be had in terms of not perhaps causing that bottleneck of traffic. And people often talk about how having MLFF systems can ease the pressure points and allow you to also plan in terms of how and where you want to direct traffic. And worth saying also that Singapore was the first city in the world to use an electronic road toll collection system for the purposes of congestion charges. Now, if we look at other countries that have successfully used MLFF, Norway is really the pioneer. They first installed it all the way back in 1968. Japan and China have been using the ETC system, or the electronic toll collection system, since the early and mid-2000s, respectively. Taiwan, meanwhile, transitioned to MLFF using RFID in 2012, and they process an average of 15 million transactions per day and have a tolling accuracy rate of 99.98%. And Malaysia isn't really alone in wanting to move towards MLFF in the region. Indonesia will be implementing it this year, and Thailand is studying the model. So all in all, I think, best case scenario, looking forward to traffic-free highways, rolling through toll booths without having to stop or worry about your devices not working. On the other hand, a lot of concerns in terms of implementation, whether we're ready and so on. But we will be looking at this further with Dr. Timothy Wong, lecturer at the Department of Economics at the National University of Singapore, and specifically looking at how Singapore's implementation has worked and what lessons we can take from that. We want to hear from you. Are you looking forward to free-flowing toll systems on our highways? What other improvements would you like to see? That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:11. You're listening to the evening edition with Sharmila, and we're talking about MLFFs, or multi-lane free-flowing systems for our highways, which is something that we can expect by 2025 if all goes well. And we would like to hear from you. Are you looking forward to this? What other improvements would you like to see? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Dr. Timothy Wong, lecturer at the Department of Economics at National University of Singapore. Welcome to the show. And Could you start by taking us through how the ERP system works in Singapore?
Sure. So ERP stands for Electronic Road Pricing, and it's Singapore's congestion toll system. So it charges drivers a toll for driving on certain roads that are more crowded during peak times. Singapore's ERP system uses an RFID technology to charge the tolls. So what this technology does is it enables gantries where these tolls are enforced to communicate with an in-vehicle unit that's installed in each car. And these in-vehicle units carry a cash card in them for payment. So in many ways, the system's not too different from Malaysia's smart tag system. You have a cash card inside an in-vehicle unit on your dashboard. The only difference is that Singapore's current technology doesn't require drivers to slow down when they're making payments, whereas the smart tag system still requires you to not be traveling too fast.
So Malaysia is aiming towards implementing a multi-lane free flow system, or MLFF, by 2025. Will this actually be similar to the ERP?
Yes. So Malaysia's upcoming RFID system will be similar in that the cars will not need to slow down to make payment. But also the system will be lighter on infrastructure. There won't be an in-vehicle unit and a physical cash card. What drivers will do is they will make and track all of their payments on a smartphone app that's connected to a sticker that's placed on the exterior of the car. So in this regard, Malaysia is adopting a technology that's more modern than the technology that Singapore currently uses. Singapore's RFID technology has been in place since 1998, so it is very old.
Now, we've been talking about this issue a lot over the last couple of weeks, and this comes up a lot. Many listeners have asked why Malaysia can't just copy and paste what Singapore has done. Now, considering Malaysia's roads and infrastructure, would that actually work?
I think what people find attractive about Singapore's current in-vehicle units is that there is a single payment system that everyone uses. So in Malaysia, the situation is a much more of a free-for-all. Your toll plazas accept many different payment methods, touch and go, smart tag. Now there's RFID. In the past, there was cash. So each payment method needs a dedicated gantry, a dedicated lane. And that means that depending on which payment method you have, and how many toll lanes are dedicated to that payment method at your toll plaza, the queue for your payment method could be longer or shorter. So having all of these payment methods, given the constraints of space with toll plazas, makes things confusing, cumbersome, unfair. In contrast, Singapore has one system and these in-vehicle units. So you can drive on any lane on the roads and the payment will work. And these in-vehicle units are not only used for congestion tolls, right? Not just for the ERP, they're also used for parking at almost all the parking lots in the city. So this one system takes care of all the payments you have to make when you are in your car, right? You don't need to then pay for parking at a machine in the lift lobby at your mall. It really just streamlines and simplifies things. And I think that's the attractiveness of the Singapore system. And it's something that can technically work in Malaysia as well.
Looking at the plans for Malaysia to head towards MLFF by 2025, what potential challenges do you foresee?
Yeah, so this MLFF system really looks a lot like Singapore's system, right? It's centralized. Everybody uses the same RFID technology. One of the biggest worries about centralized systems is whether they induce a market structure that's not competitive. If there is only one technology for payment, then does it mean that the government is creating a monopoly in the industry? We don't like monopolies because they are often inefficiently run. There's no pressure of competition from other firms. That means you could end up with higher prices, lower quality, lack of innovation. So that's the obvious concern as Malaysia transitions to the MLFF system. Singapore's solution to that, since Singapore also adopts a single technology for payment, is to allow competition when it comes to the provision of cash cards, right? So in Singapore, the cash cards are provided either by Nets or by EasyLink. So there are two companies competing in the provision of these cash cards. And Malaysia has indicated that that's what they'll do as well. So Touch and Go will not be the only company providing payment services. Other firms can also provide payment services using the same RFID technology. So in this regard, the market's still competitive. But the government is still the one choosing the underlying technology here, right? Over which all these firms will compete. In order to compete, to participate in this market, you must adopt the RFID technology. What's tricky with this setup is that transitioning to a new technology becomes more challenging. In Singapore, the government has been testing a new payment system for years, and they've called it the ERP 2.0. We're still waiting for this to be launched. But there already have been concerns that the system that they are currently testing is out of date. In contrast, Malaysia's current system, where there's a free-for-all in terms of payment methods, really does allow for beta testing of new technologies, since a new payment technology can easily be introduced in parallel to the many existing payment methods that are in use. Generally, governments are not leaders in innovation because governments are not first-hand producers of technology. So when the government takes charge in picking a single technology for payment, in this case, RFID, while drivers will enjoy the convenience of being able to use a single payment everywhere, what we may be sacrificing is nimble innovation. So once Malaysia commits to widespread use of RFID, which seems at this moment like a very advanced technology, the big question is, will it be stuck with this technology for a long time, or will the government be agile enough to adopt to a new, better technology in the future? That's the struggle that Singapore is already facing, and it's something that Malaysia must be aware of as it transitions to a market structure that is similar to Singapore's.
Now, for drivers who are more used to using a physical item, whether it's a card or a smart tag to pay for tolls, this adjustment of not having a simple way to keep track of the payments is something that keeps coming up in complaints. How can this be accounted for?
My thought here is that a phone application, a smartphone app that tracks payments should be better than the existing debit card approach. The app will store far more information on your transactions, so you can keep track of where you've traveled, how much is left in your account. You can get reminders to top up. So as long as you are able to operate a smartphone, this new system is better than the old. But that still begs the question, what about people who are not technologically savvy, who are not comfortable with smartphones, who like the physical tangibility of cards? That always is an issue as you innovate. Some people are left behind. Some people cannot make the transition. So maybe a reality that Malaysia will have to deal with is that a full transition to this RFID cardless system may not be possible, right? There might be some concessions that have to be made for people who continue on using cash cards for a while. The same way that we had cash cards for a long time in Malaysia, and we continued the cash option for many years before it was discontinued. So that same sort of legacy technology may need to be maintained for quite a while for these people who just cannot adapt.
And overall, what can the government do to prepare road users for these upcoming changes?
I think the best way to ensure a smooth transition is to not rush the change. You need to give people time to change. You need to provide incentives for people to change. So one common way to get people to adopt the new technology is to subsidize the early adopters. So that's one thing that you could do. The first set of people who come in to adopt the technology, make sure it's free or cheap or easy. You can have road shows to provide information, but the reality is dealing with any new technology, the constraint here is time. It takes time to learn the technology. It takes time for learning to take place across the entire driving population. So you cannot rush to this. Trying to be too aggressive and sudden with your switch will only cause people to be stuck at the tolls with no ability to pay, people not paying the tolls, people not using the roads because they're not ready with the payment methods. So really you just need to take your time to make sure that people are learning. And as long as you don't rush the system, I think this is something that can be done.
Timothy, thanks for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Timothy Wong, lecturer at the Department of Economics at National University of Singapore, joining us to shed light on the comparisons and contrasts, really, between our proposed MLFF system for our highways and Singapore's ERP system. And we'd like to hear from you. Are you looking forward to free-flowing toll systems on our highways? What other improvements would you like to see? Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now in keeping with today's theme, we have The Big Moon with The Road, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.